Welcome to the deep dive. I never stopped to think about what those tiny little words we use all the time actually say about us.
Especially when things get tense, right?
Yeah.
Like at a poker table.
Exactly. So today we're going, well, all in on that very idea. We're exploring how something super simple, like the word I, might just give away a poker player's hand.
That's right. I'm Ed Reif, and yeah, this deep dive really comes out of some thinking I've been doing, stuff I've written about on my blog.
Oh, right. Posts like, The Secret is about results, poker is about process, and that one on pronouns, and I for N-I.
Yeah, those are the ones, The Secret Lives of Pronouns and Deception. It started with just watching players, you know, at the table, and led to some pretty interesting places.
So, Ed, what really jumped out at me is this core idea that words we barely even notice, the filler, the junk words, they can actually be huge indicators.
Huge. Especially about what's really going on inside someone's head, particularly, you know, when it comes to honesty or lack of it in poker.
Right. So our mission today, if you like, is to really unpack one of these supposedly unimportant words, the pronoun I.
Mm-hmm. And try to understand how often someone uses it, or crucially doesn't use it, might signal, well, whether they're telling the truth or maybe bluffing their socks off.
Okay, let's start there with the poker mindset. In The Secret is about results, you really stress that poker isn't just cards, is it? It's about the people.
Oh, absolutely. It's fundamentally about people. I mean, we're always trying to read opponents, aren't we? We look for physical tells, how they bet.
Sure. The usual stuff.
Right. But language is just another stream of data, you know, a really rich one. Like I said in the post, what someone says, how they say it, it gives you a peek into their thought process.
So watching their words becomes part of playing the player.
It has to be. It's another tool in the toolbox.
Okay. And this is where it gets really juicy. This idea you mentioned that when someone's maybe being deceptive, they subconsciously try to distance themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's like their own brain puts up a little barrier between them and the words that aren't quite true. A subconscious thing.
How does that actually show up in their language?
Well, it can be subtle. Maybe they use more passive language, like the bet was made instead of I bet. Or they talk in vaguer, more general terms. Anything to reduce that personal connection.
Which leads us straight to this this kind of punchy formula you had. I equals verbal all in. I like that.
Yeah, it kind of captures it, doesn't it? It suggests that when a player does use I, talking about their hand or their play, there's a stronger sense of ownership there. Conviction.
Like they're standing behind the statement.
Precisely. And that brings us back to these so-called junk words, like pronouns. We usually skim right over them, focusing on the main action words, the nouns and verbs.
Right, the meaningful words.
But these little function words, like I, they carry a ton of weight. Maybe not direct meaning, but definitely intent. They show the speaker's relationship to what they're saying. They're like the hidden framework.
Okay, so let's zero in on I then. From your other post, yen n I for n I. What's the big reveal? What did you find about how I usage connects to deception?
Well, the main finding, and it honestly surprised me too when I dug into the research, is that when people are being deceptive, they often use the word I less.
Less, not more. That feels backwards somehow.
It does, doesn't it? You'd think someone trying hard to convince you would be all, I did this and I think that, but no.
So why? Why fewer eyes when someone's bluffing or, you know, not being straight?
It seems to loop back to that subconscious distancing we talked about. If you know deep down that what you're saying isn't true, your brain might just subtly try to, well, decouple you from the untruth.
Oh,
and
right.
Dropping the I is one easy unconscious way to do that. It's not like most people are thinking, okay, time to bluff, better use less I, just happens. It's leakage.
Like a little tell leaking out through their grammar.
Sort of, yeah. Maybe there's a tiny bit of guilt or just the cognitive load of maintaining the lie. It causes this subtle shift away from self-reference.
So, practically at the table, if a player is spinning this elaborate tale about their monster hand, but they're saying stuff like, well, the turn card helped the draw, or a bet was necessary there, instead of, I hit my draw, or I decided to bet, that's a flag.
It could be. Definitely something to note. It's never just one thing, right?
Right.
You need the whole picture, the context, their baseline.
Of course, yeah. No magic bullets.
No.
Yeah.
But if you notice someone consistently dropping the I when they talk about their hand or their decisions, especially compared to how they normally talk,
yeah,
that might suggest they don't fully believe what they're saying. It could signal deception.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something called the Sims OJ Poker Strategy Simulator in one of the posts, kind of near this discussion. How does a tool like that connect to language tells? Or does it?
Well, the simulator itself, as I talked about it, isn't analyzing pronouns, not directly anyway.
Yeah.
Its inclusion was more about highlighting this broader trend in poker strategy.
Which is
using data, using analysis, trying to get any edge you can, looking beyond just gut feelings. So the simulator represents that analytical approach.
Gotcha. So it's part of that same mindset of looking deeper.
Exactly. And, you know, who knows? Maybe future tools could incorporate linguistic analysis. Imagine a simulator flagging potential bluffs based partly on pronoun frequency. It's speculative, but interesting.
That would be something else entirely. So, okay, we've been deep in the poker world, but does this principle, this less eye, more lie idea, potentially work outside the casino in just, you know, regular life?
I really think it might. The psychology behind it, that subconscious need to distance oneself from untruth, that feels pretty universal, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it does.
So think about, I don't know, a negotiation, maybe a work situation, even just talking with friends or family. If you hear someone consistently avoiding I, when they probably should be using it.
When they're talking about their own actions or feelings.
Right. It might just be a little signal that warrants perhaps a bit more attention. Maybe ask a few more questions.
It's like unlocking a hidden layer in conversation. You're not just hearing the message, but you're also sensing how connected the speaker is to that message through these tiny words.
That's a great way to put it. Communication is so layered, and these subtle linguistic markers, they can sometimes shout louder than the actual words being said.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. The big takeaway from this deep dive seems to be, keep an ear out for the little word I.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice it dropping off significantly, especially when someone's talking about themselves or their experiences, it could be a subtle hint that maybe, just maybe, they're not being entirely upfront.
That's the core idea, yeah. Reading people isn't just about the obvious stuff. It's about catching these tiny details in language, in behavior, that can give you real insight into their state of mind, into their truthfulness.
So here's the thought to leave you all with. Now that you know about this potential link, this eye frequency thing, are you going to start noticing it more?
In your own speech, perhaps?
Yeah, and in others. What kinds of subtle stories might those little pronouns start telling you? It's definitely something to think about. Ed, this has been genuinely eye-opening. Thanks so much.
It was my pleasure. Really enjoyed digging into it with you.